Thank you, Ray. Good afternoon to everyone. I'm going to be talking about sorghum and its response to different irrigation levels during three different climatic seasons. Co-authors on this presentation are Steve Evett and Paul Calese. We're all with the ARS Laboratory in Bushland. So Bushland is located about 12 miles west of Amarillo in a semi-arid region. Annual rainfall is about 470 millimeters, but evaporative demand is about three times that amount. Agriculture, irrigated agriculture, is mainly dependent on the Ogallala Aquifer, the world's largest freshwater aquifer, but it's a non-replenishing aquifer, so use of water is very important. The major crops include corn, sorghum, and cotton. And more than 85% of irrigated land in this area is accomplished with center pivot systems. So farmers are challenged here by limited water supplies and, again, the variable climatic conditions from season to season. So this is a plot of our annual rainfall, and you can see that the majority of rainfall looks like it occurs from May through August, and that was the case except in 2011, where we had very little rainfall during the growing season, less than 11 millimeters. The methods for this three-year study for sorghum grown in 2009, 2010, and 2011 were that we planted two hybrids under two separate center pivot fields. They were planted in a randomized complete block design. The hybrids or varieties were the Pioneer 84 G62, which is a late maturing hybrid, and then the early maturing was an NC Plus variety, and that was typically planted in late June and planted at a seeding rate that were comparable to one another. We established irrigation rates at 80, 55, 30, and 0% soil water replenishment of soil water depletion to field capacity in the top 1.5 meters. And the center pivot systems were outfitted. Well, initially we had nozzle control, and then the last year we did have a VRI hardware applied. So if you look at the Palmer drought severity indexes for these 3 years, you can see that the drought was very different, kind of similar to what Jessica showed for Montana. In 2009, we were in somewhat of a drought. 2010, it was a wet year, and 2011, it was an extreme or an exceptional drought year. And you can see from this graph here the plots of maximum daily air temperature, higher, very much higher for 2011 as compared to 2010 and 2009, and then the maximum daily ET is also plotted, and you can see that that was about 10 millimeters per day in 2011, kind of exceptionally extreme conditions, even for sorghum. So ET was calculated based on the soil water balance equation and readings from the Neutron probe. So we installed access tubes down to a depth of 2.4 meters, and we took readings every 20 centimeters. So ET is equivalent to the inputs of precipitation and irrigation. Okay, subtract out runoff, which was we assumed to be zero. Our fields are fairly flat and furrow diked. And I applied the irrigation using LIPA drag socks. So those are canvas socks that actually drag along the furrows between the row crops. And it also accounted for the change in soil water storage. And deep percolation, we could assume that that was zero. And looking at the soil water graphs, you'll see that as well. So the neutron probe was a Campbell Pacific a nuclear probe. And calibration, the probe was calibrated in our soils, in wet and dry soils. So we determined coefficients for our three soil layers. So this is a typical soil water graph. And this was for a plot that was irrigated at 80% replenishment to field capacity. And you can see that the root depth was at about 100 centimeters. And there's no flux beyond that. And then you can see how dry the soil got at the surface. And this was in 2011. Now here you see production functions for the late maturing sorghum. So on the y-axis, I have grain yield plotted against seasonal ET. And in red, we have the late maturing sorghum that was grown in 2010, which is the wettest year for these 3 years. In green, the production function for a sorghum that was grown in 2009. So there was somewhat of higher evaporative demand in 2010, but nothing compared to 2011 when we had that exceptional drought. So you can see that the drought required at least 1.5 times more water to get to those higher yields. And even then, we weren't able to get to the highest yields that were produced in 2009 and 2010. With the lower irrigation levels, it significantly reduced yields. And you can see that here at the 50% and here at the 30%. And again, this is in 2011. And no irrigation resulted in no yields. Okay, production functions for the early maturing sorghum. And again, plotting grain yield on the y-axis versus seasonal crop water use. We see that we have a quadratic formula representing yields for 2009. And then we have linear relationships in 2010 and 2011. And so we see that the early maturing sorghum fared much better, even in the exceptional drought year. Now, if we plot those three extreme years, or three very different years, among data for sorghum yields and seasonal crop water use for a 30-year spread for sorghum grown in bushland, we see that 2010, and this is for the late maturing hybrid, it marks the best water use efficiency, or almost the best water use efficiency. 2009, and it simulates the average crop water use efficiency for this 30-year historical data. And then 2011 is the border for the worst water use efficiency performance of sorghum. So in these graphs here, these bar graphs, what I'm showing is the percent difference in grain yield compared to the average performance of grain sorghum at bushland. And so we can see from this first graph here, where it's looking at grain yield, comparing 2010 to 2009, we see that 2010 only exceeds 2009 in the dryland situation. And that's likely due to the antecedent soil water in the profile. And then, of course, we see 2011, percent difference for any irrigated level is much less than the average. ETC, when we look at crop water use, the difference again compared to 2009, water use was much higher in 2011, but in 2010 it was much, much less. And looking at this graph in the lower left-hand corner, looking at water use efficiency, we see that water use efficiency compared to 2009 was only highest again for that dry land crop. And in 2011, it was much less. And irrigation water use efficiency was a little bit higher at the 55% level and the 30% level in 2010, but again, much less in the exceptional drought year. If we look at the performance of the early maturing hybrid relative to the average, we see grain yields were only greater for the dry land crop. If we look at crop water use, again relative to the average, we see that water use was much less. And then if we look at water use efficiency relative to the average, we see that in 2009, it was a little bit better for the highest irrigation levels, but much greater for the dry land. And then irrigation water use efficiency was much less than average for all of these years. And so the question might be to the farmers in our area who have limited well capacity, is it better to plant early maturing sorghum versus late maturing sorghum? Certainly in all cases, yields were less than the late maturing variety. In most cases, when you're not under severe to exceptional droughts, then you certainly want to, I think it's certainly beneficial to practice deficit irrigation, because in some cases water use efficiency was higher at the 55% level. But in any case, under severe to exceptional drought conditions, water should be concentrated and not spread, or deficit irrigation will likely result in crop failure. And this graph here, where I plotted reference ET for the season, and then crop ET for the late maturing hybrid, and then crop ET for the early maturing hybrid, you see that the early maturing hybrid used about 234 millimeters less of water. So again, a farmer in our region who has a limited well capacity, it might be beneficial to plant the early maturing hybrids, especially in the drought conditions. So in summary, it's important to review crop water use relative to economic yields. The measured water use efficiencies for the late maturing and early maturing grain sorghums, they represent an average and the greatest and the smallest amount over those 3-year period compared with the 30 years of historical data. So it was an interesting 3 years experience for farmers in our region. Under exceptional to severe drought, again, concentrating water is important. And so when water is a limiting factor, the early maturing hybrids may help out with profitability. For the future work, we're working on estimating ET using two-source energy balance model with the IRTs, and we're using the Dynamax IRTs as well, with the IRTs mounted on a center pivot system. And Paul Calazzi just published in AgWatt on this method, and you can see some of the results that he had. We have a ways to go, but the challenge again is looking at row crops as these IRTs are moving across the field. You have differences in orientation, shaded and lit canopy, as well as shaded and lit portions of soil. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge funding from the Ogallala Aquifer Program and the Sorghum Checkoff Program, and thank you for your attention.
Do we have time for questions?
What's the length of time between the late maturing and early maturing sorghum?
Okay, so the planting was about 30 days apart, and the harvest time was about 15 days apart, so about 45 days difference. Relative to well, in our area, I'd say it is because you go past June and you could get an early freeze. You go past June for your planting date, you could get an early freeze. Somebody else might comment on the NC Plus and see if there's a variety that has relative maturity less than that. I'm not sure.
Is there any other questions?
What is the amount of water required by the crop during the planting?
The amount of water required?
Yeah.
So it was dependent on the season. So, okay. So I only plotted ET, but I can. Okay. So if we look at yields here, it's about 900 millimeters of full, and so we applied about 725 millimeters to reach that. We did do some pre-plant irrigation, which is not atypical for our area. But if you look at for other seasons, for other years, then we typically would have to apply half that much. So again, it was very, very season dependent, and that was pretty much the point of this presentation.
Any